Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 608 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm Rose, as always. I'm Tyler. And join me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Colonel. Touch me while you play Grand Theft Auto with your boys, Gables. What's up, buddy?
I don't know about you, Tyler, but I'm feeling 42. Anyway. Oh man, I'm doing all right. I'm just hanging in there from like a long work week. I mean, because of family stuff, like a couple of nights ago and stuff, I hardly got any sleep. No, but other than that, though, it's like work's been consistent. Gaming stuff, I've done a little bit of gameplay stuff this week though, but it's just one of those weeks where I've just been kind of exhausted here and there. But I have played a little bit of stuff on PC, but other than that, though, I've just been piecing together what initial purchases I could be doing for over the next month and stuff. Because I've already went through and do a couple other things, like financially as well. But as far as gaming goes, yeah, I got some decisions to make. But how have you been doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, a little tired. I was hanging with some buddies earlier today. I was telling you before the show. We did some day drinking. And it's always fun hanging with your buddies doing some day drinking, but the downside is the part where you stop drinking, but you still have the rest of the day. And now I'm just kind of tired. But I started drinking again, so let's hope that maybe that kind of kickstarts the energy a little bit. You know, I'm a little tired. You know, by the time I got home, it was like sometimes when we record, you know, cause it's a little late over here for me. I usually have like a little coffee before, like a few hours before the show. I'll do a little coffee, kind of give me a little pick me up. Yeah. Not I don't want to drink it too late because then I'm wired 2 o'clock in the morning. But by the time I got home, it was a little too late to be drinking coffee. So here I am. I'm in a weird spot right now, Gables.
Yeah.
Bear with me here. So Stellar Blade comes out on Friday.
Yep.
Typically when I buy games, I typically do it through like one game when I'm getting them on launch. I do it through two ways. Digital. Yep. I just go to GameStop. And I pick it up. I pre-order it, go up to GameStop, get it. I didn't do that this time.
I didn't.
I have I pre-ordered it, but I'm in a weird spot. So I have like an Amazon like credit card thing that I only ever use to like on Amazon purchases. So I don't get too crazy with it. I have like subscription things I buy. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm not gonna try to get, like talk about weird credit card debt things here. Which I don't have, by the way. You can like you earn like percentage point like, for every like you get like 5 cents or 5% back on whatever you purchase through Amazon with your Amazon card. So I've earned enough. Like I've been saving up my Amazon bucks. I'm able to get Stellar Blade for like $15 now.
Okay,
which is great. Which is awesome. It's supposed to be coming out launch day. I used to like order stuff like Best Buy and Amazon a lot. Like I used to pre-order games through there a lot. But I got frustrated because the games kept coming out like on Monday. I'm like, well, that kind of ruins the point of like, you know, I want the game on Friday. So when I get home, I have the whole weekend to play the game. And by the time Monday rolls around, like now the work week started, I don't have time to play the game. So I'm doing it this way. And I figured, you know, if it gets delayed, I got Tales of Kanzera Zao and I got another Crab's Treasure coming out Tuesday and Thursday to hold me over. But the concern here, Gables, is a long ramble to get to my point here. My mail goes to my parents' house.
Yeah.
I live in an apartment. I don't want my packages like set at my door in my apartment and they get stolen or we've had issues where we don't have like the, we don't always have the same like delivery person, a USPS person. So like I get the wrong building stuff get delivered to me all the time.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but regularly. So my concern is Gables. My parents have the Amazon Echo. Just making sure mine didn't hear me. Which tells you when you have an Amazon package coming.
Okay.
And not only does it tell you when you have an Amazon package coming, it tells you what the Amazon package is.
Okay.
And not only does it tell you what the Amazon package is, the Amazon Echo has a screen that then shows you what that package is.
Okay.
So I am going to spend the rest of the week, the next 7 days, Gables, deeply concerned that my parents are going to not only find out there's a package coming Friday, which I figured they'll know. But here what the thing is, if even if they hear what it is, worst case, Google that thing, which is like my worst fucking fear. Or the other one is they see the picture of what's being delivered.
Oh my God.
you see my conundrum.
You know, the moment you just started talking about like your dilemma, I automatically put two and two together. It's like, oh yeah, his parents are gonna probably think, "What the fuck is he doing on this fucking Stellar Blade stuff?"
Yeah. Well, it's like you can't explain to your like anybody like that's not a gamer. That's like, no, this is actually like a really great game that I'm really looking forward to. It just so happens to have a very attractive woman that you play as with weird jiggly physics. I'm hoping that maybe they just hear the thing and ignore it. They're like, you know, they don't care. Typically, they don't give a shit about gaming. Or like they just, oh, I got a package. That's just the game. Okay, cool, whatever. The worst case scenario is they Google it. Because then I'm fucked at that point. Even if they look at like when I pre-ordered it, I pulled up the cover of the game and I was looking at it. I was like, kind of zooming in. I'm like, it doesn't look too bad, I guess, but it is. It's not great, but it doesn't look bad, but it's not great either. So, yeah, I don't know.
Would you have preferred it came into would you have preferred it to be delivered and all of a sudden it just has that special type of packaging or something like that, black and a tin foil type of stuff?
Oh, the black one. Oh God, that's worse. Yeah. Well, my other concern is that my family also is they use my Amazon account. Which, if Amazon, Jeff Bezos, if you're listening right now, that's not true. They don't. But they use my Amazon account. So my worst concern is that sometimes they order packages and they forgot to change the name. So sometimes they'll have my name on it, and then they open it.
Oh.
Not only will they, now they'll be able to see the cover fully in their hand, they can then flip the box over. And I looked at the back of the box online.
Yes.
And it's not looking great for me, Gables, if they see that. Things aren't looking good. So it's going to be a rough week. So if you can send your thoughts my way, I really appreciate it. Well, like the good vibes, the good feelings. Like I need it all.
Well, you know, it could be worse, dude. It could have been you ordering something from Amazon or something that was just kind of like discreet or something like that, but like it ended up just...
Just say a pocket pussy.
Oh, no, man. I'm talking about if you're going into the realm of, like, weird stuff, I mean, at least you didn't order, like, any type of, like, figurines or any type of, like, look at those statues or something, like, on fucking eBay or something like that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like, my God. The whole, like, creeper-looking shit and stuff that they usually sell for, like, statues and stuff.
Yeah.
At least that wasn't something that your parents just freaking saw or something on their old, like, freaking Amazon lens or their fucking other shit or something like that, because it's, like... That's gonna be like a fucking week, like at least a week conversation between you and your folks. Like,
yeah, it's
why can't you get out? I mean, why can't you do this?
Yeah, it's like it's already like there's the Catherine incident already like is a thing that happened in my lore with my parents. It's like you know, like I feel like it's just not looking great for me here, and it's like I don't just play these games like this. It's just a great game and I want to play it. I don't know. So I'm in a rough spot right now. Gables, like no one's in a worse spot than me in the world right now than, at least in the United States, than where I'm at for the next week of just, you know, terror and, fear. Cause,
well, at least they're not the ones to try to open your games or something like that. Okay. This looks kind of risky. Let's see what happens. And all of a sudden, it's just like bouncy.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. What if it like thank God it doesn't have like you know like when like what's that with the like when you like move like the kind of like the holographic thing when you move it like the picture changes as you move it around.
Yep.
It's just the boobs jiggling. Could be. You're right. Could be worse. But it's like when you're growing up as a kid.
Yes.
You know, and it's like we're wrestling fans. And yes. like you want like you, everybody's like he's a wrestling fan. God, look at that fucking freak. But then you try to explain to people, no, it's really good. And then like they walk in at the one like the word like the bra and panties match is happening. I'm like, no, I swear to God, it's good. Like wrestling's really good. It's like it's just the worst possible time to show up. So it's like, God damn. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's a little like people in the moments, like in the freaking early 2000s or something like that, in WWE having their freaking back then where they didn't really respect women's wrestling all that much. They decided just to go and put on Raw, random Paul Raw, like bra and panties matches and stuff like that on there.
They just hired models, put them in underwear, and said, "All right, go ahead and fight the pillowcase now." Yeah, so that's where I'm at right now, Gabe. But this is gonna be a rough week. I'll check back next week and let you know how it went. And hopefully, best case, even if they do see it, we just don't talk about it. You know, I think that's probably the best.
Well, you're hoping to not talk about it, and unless it's like one of those type of packages and stuff where it's like it accidentally gets wet and all of a sudden everything just starts disappearing.
You're right, Gables. You know, I'm gonna have to look at the weather and see how like. Fuck, I'm gonna have to look at the weather and see how it's looking next week. Maybe if like I don't know. You know what? I think on Amazon I can have it delivered to somewhere else nearby me and just go pick it up.
Yeah,
that might be the play.
Just delivered to Justin's house and stuff. It's like, hey, dude, you get my package?
Well, no, he's got a wife and kids. That's worse. So
his wife just randomly picks up the mail. Just what the fuck is this?
yeah. Like, I mean, that's far worse for him. You know. Yeah. So.
Sorry.
I don't live, you know, like I live here by myself, so I can just leave and like just deal with the shame here. But that happens to Justin. He, you know, he's fucked. So
you could probably like have it delivered or something like at your apartment complex if you can try to do that.
Okay, but then great, then I have it delivered to the fucking main office, and what if they see what it is?
Well,
like they already like you're... they already see into my window and see all the fucking figurines on the goddamn wall here, Gables. I am fucked. There's no good options here. I might as well just change my name and leave the country.
All
right.
Where it just happens to come into the main office as soon as your landlord or something just like comes to the office, and all of a sudden it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. It's like you're not gonna play that with the windows open, are you? It's like, no. I bought extra fucking curtains. I'm gonna put two curtains over my curtains.
Blackout curtains all over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just don't want anybody to know what you're doing inside there.
Yeah, I'm going to like soundproof the house. I'm going to play on headphones and still like put like fucking foam up everywhere so the sound doesn't escape.
So, is it like your biggest fear or something like that? It's like you're playing this game, all of a sudden it's like, all of a sudden the office or something just passes by or something. Hey, we got to do a quick inspection or something like this. Yeah, and like, all of a sudden they just see you playing that. It's like, what the fuck?
Or like... It's like sometimes you hear about like stories about people's worst fear is they like have a heart attack and die while jerking off. Like my worst fear is someone see me play like this game.
You're right in mid combo, everything's flailing to the wind. It's like, I swear to God, this is a good game.
Yeah, I swear to God, it's just a really good game. Like remember I told you that story of like the one time that tweaker walked into my apartment and wouldn't leave.
Yes.
Like. I'm hopeful. I'm scared she'll walk in, not because she's a tweaker and she's won my apartment, because then she'll see me play this game.
And then all of a sudden she just gives you this face, is like, this is disappointed face, and just leaves out of your apartment.
Yeah, the meth head is disappointed in me. Like that's my concern. Like what happens then? You know, like,
it just starts progressively getting worse.
It's like, yeah, I'm addicted to meth, but you're playing this. Like, I'm like. Like, get your shit together, you know? Like, that's where I'm at.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's a real story. Like, a meth head walked to my house one time. It told me she was 8 months pregnant, but she was, like, 42 pounds. Anyways, lock your doors, people. Lock your doors.
Absolutely.
And don't have weird, like, porn-esque games delivered to your parents' house. Anyways, though. This is a video game podcast where every week we get together and talk about video games and everything we love about them, and sometimes hate about them. I'm Tyler. That's Gables. Hey. If you like the show, like what we're doing, like fucking 15 minutes in. If you like what we're doing, like what we're saying here, please. If you got better ideas of like how to take care of a situation where like I can get this game and nobody knows I have this game, let me know.
Envelope.
Yeah. Like I'm gonna need you like quadruple package this bitch. Like get the black box from like that goes into like the in like airplanes and deliver that to me. Well, I'll pay extra.
Just have it all scented as well.
I feel like the easy answer is just like download it digitally, but like I can at least trade this game in. But like you know, like I want, like, but my, but like, what if I die? And then like, are like, you know, the PS12's out and I'm dead. And then my grandchildren get a hold of my PlayStation account and they see that their great, great grandfather, played this game called Stellar Blade 40 years ago.
Like, oh, Gables had some taste.
This is going to haunt me for the rest of my life playing this game. Like, there's no escaping this. So,
and so that's why you don't want it digitally.
Yeah. Like, I can't win. Like, at least, like, the only, like, basically all I have to do is once I get this game is play this game to completion. And I mean, completion, roll credits, not, anyways. play this game, roll credits.
You keep digging yourself deeper.
It's not getting better. roll credits on this game and then do all that and then trade the game in to GameStop before I die. That's basically, I gotta survive for like the next 3 weeks. It could be a tall task, depending on how jiggly those boobs are. So, what if I die while playing the game?
Well, when you get up to that climax, you know, it's like, it's gonna be that type of a game and stuff where
God
it's
damn
like...
it, Gables. God damn it. Or like, what if I like I'm playing the game, but like I do that thing where like I play ReCore and I fell asleep playing ReCore, and I fall asleep and the game like pauses, but then it burns the image into my TV. These are the things I'm thinking about, Gables. I'm spiraling. We gotta move on. I'm spiraling out of control. It's getting worse.
Your parents walk into your apartment. It's like, what the fuck's that burning your TV?
It's like, oh, I got like I, you know, it's just it's a screensaver. It came like that. It just came like that. I don't know how to turn it off. I swear. We gotta move on. Anyway, if you like this show, please like, follow, subscribe. Check us out. What is this podcast? I don't know.
Can you tell we're thin on topics this week?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a rough week for Tyler in a lot of ways, and one's putting together the show notes. But nothing avails the comparison of me trying to figure out how to get this game and play it and get rid of it before anybody finds out. What do you think is harder, doing all this without anybody finding out I'm playing this game, or stealing the Declaration of Independence?
Well, the way you're making it sound, it definitely sounds like hiding the fact that you're going to play this game.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. I want Nicolas Cage to come back for National Treasures 3. It's just like him helping me play this game, beat it, and then beat the game.
He just appears out of nowhere. Okay, Tyler, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to help you beat this game. I'm going to go ahead and just, yeah, you don't worry about your parents. You know, you just got to do this. And, he just slips you a manila envelope or something like that. Here, put it in here. Here, just safe storage.
Yeah, it's like ends up like somehow I'm in the basement of the Alamo. I was like, what the fuck? Why are we here? I just wanted to beat Stellar Blade. Like, what's going on?
Oh, seriously, that's a good part. All
right, if you are a fan of this somehow and you're still here, I appreciate it. Please like, follow, subscribe, hit all the buttons. We're on everything. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, which is basically just YouTube now. We're on everything. Just look for us, Drunk Nerds, Drunk Dash Nerds. You'll find us. Leave 5-star reviews, leave comments, tell your friends, subscribe, all that fun shit. YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, all that. Please check us out. Really would appreciate it. Gables, let's get into the news finally. Nintendo Indie Worlds happened.
Yes.
They announced that on, I think it was Tuesday, and it happened Wednesday. So, excuse me. It's kind of a short turnaround. I did a live react to it. So, if you want to see me lose my shit over the Little Kitty Big City trailer, that's a real thing that happened, do that, please. Hit the like button on that and tell your friends. But Gables started off with a bang. I'm no joke, incredibly excited for this game. This game looks great to me. Little Kitty Big City, it's basically like a kind of like almost like Stray, but also Untitled Goose Game got together and just made like a really cute cat, and you go around and you just fuck shit up, and the cat accidentally falls out the window, and now he's like in the city and he's just going around causing mischief, knocking shit over, doing big old stretches, which is my favorite part. He does a big stretch. Coming up May 9th, also coming to Game Pass. So I'm incredibly excited for this one, Gables. What are you at, Little Kitty Big City?
Well, you know what? I'm kind of a sucker to try out weird, like, animal, like, video games and stuff like that. I mean, Untitled Goose Game is definitely one of those and was our actual game of the year during one year.
Yeah. It was your three and it was my two that year. Yeah.
Oh, but it was definitely awesome. But yeah, Little Kitty Big City does sound like a fun little time and stuff. I'm not expecting a lot from it, but when it comes out of the Game Pass, I'm definitely gonna give it a download and just play it and see if how much I like it.
Yeah. It's a little treat for me too. 'Cause it comes out 2 days after my birthday, so I'm gonna call that my birthday present. So, thank you on that one. Next up here, kind of a weird one. Atari bringing back a classic here with Yars Rising. This is a like kind of a continuation of the Atari 2600 games. But I don't really know much about Yars, but I was listening to someone talk about it, and like in Yars, it's like a space combat game, and you play as a bug.
Yeah.
And this is like almost like a Metroidvania platformer style game.
Yeah, you know what? That definitely does feel it definitely feels very out there. And I'll tell you, when not in a good way, in my honest opinion. From the look at the initial trailer and stuff, it just kind of feels like that scene or something where like Steve Buscemi is like dressed up as a teenager going to the school and stuff. He has a skateboard in his backwards hat. It's like, howdy do, fellow kids. Well,
Yes,
it
yeah.
definitely feels like that with Atari, with help of WayForward, putting out like a new, quote unquote, new Yars game, and but this one's a Metroidvania. And
Yeah.
it's kind of weird, the graphics of it's really kind of like it's kind of like a mix between sort of like a CalArts style and stuff, and it just looks sort of off to me in some aspects
Yeah.
of it. I mean, bear in mind, guys, I mean, for all we know, that could be a good game in terms of the gameplay, in terms of maybe the story elements of it, but it's definitely a weird choice for like Yars, especially with like the old arcade games and stuff like that for Yars Revenge and like whichever and stuff. It just seems like to me just a quick cash in attempt or something to try to make Yars relevant in the current year. But if they were gonna try to make Yars like modern and current for the type of year, you think they would just, I don't know, remake the arcade game or something for modern?
I mean, I don't know if they, I mean, so this is being made by WayForward, so there is a
Yes.
chance it could be good. I don't think it's gonna be, I don't know if it's gonna be bad, but yeah, it definitely like it looks off. It almost looks like a, if you would have told me this was like a mobile game that's being ported to consoles, I would
Yes.
believe you. It's
Yes.
like, I don't know, like a cash grab for a 40-year-old Atari 2600 game. I don't even know what that is. Is that a cash grab? What is that? It's like, it's just weird. Like, hey, we're bringing back this franchise, but it's not actually like, there's a, like, I guess they're like in the, like the picture, there's like a bug behind the woman you play as. So
Yeah, that's
is
supposed
she,
to be like some
are you
sort of
playing?
inspir. That's supposed to be like the main character, I guess, for Yars in general and stuff. But what, the spirit of like Yars or something? Is what this girl is supposed to be or something like that?
Are you like a robot that's being controlled by the bug?
Yeah, man, it's just fairly confusing. And the whole presentation of the trailer itself, you know, with the girl kind of talking from her point of view and stuff and all this other stuff, it definitely wasn't something that kind of struck me as, oh, okay, I must play this game once it comes out. It's just more like a curious, okay, what are they gonna do with
Yeah.
this?
Yeah, like I like we've been doing this podcast for nearly 11 years. I've been wrong several times. Probably wrong more than I've been right. So if it comes out, it's great, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna have to wait. It's WayForward, so they're gonna get the benefit of the doubt. They deserve it. But we'll have to wait and
Right.
see. That's coming later this year. Another game that's already it's coming this summer. It's already out on Steam and mobile. Refined Self, the personality test game. So you play as like an android. So I'm just gonna read what they write here. So android finding out who they are after their creator has passed away. Talk to other characters, make decisions, and live your life by your own design. At the journey's end, your personality will be described with 23 types to discover. Are you an adventurer, a clown, a leader, a samurai? Those are the options here. I don't think introverts in there. Clown actually might work for me. I don't want to know. I'm just not going to play this game. I don't want to know. No disrespect to this game. I don't want to know.
Yeah, honestly, there were quite a bit of games from this indie, like this old Nindies Direct and stuff, to where there just wasn't a lot of games really aimed towards me, and this was definitely one of those type of games to where, hey, it could be a perfectly fine game and stuff for people to mess around with and stuff, but it didn't really appeal to me. I mean, granted, there is an audience for this type of a game too. I mean, the whole personality test stuff and the way this game is presented in terms of its art style looks interesting, looks kind of appealing and stuff, but yeah, I just really couldn't get into it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Next up here, Sticky Business. This is like a, I don't know, business simulator game where you run a sticker business. And you, so you make stickers and you create labels. You can add effects, glitter, sparkles. There is DLC you can buy that adds over 100 different sticker elements. Gills, I'm just going to say something.
What?
So remember like last year or 2 years ago when we had the direct. The infamous direct where there was like 700 million
Yep.
anime farming simulators.
Yes.
Look, I'm all like, you know, you do you. You know, I'm not here to kink shame. I'm not here to yuck your muck. But are we at the point now, Gables, where we, I, you know, cozy games? That's enough. We don't need any more. We can just stop now. It's unnecessary.
Not so much cozy games more. It's like they just there's just like a lot of like crafting sort of style of games that were inside of this Nindies Direct. I mean, you had this whole things with stickers. You have another game that we're going to be talking about maybe a little bit as in regards to like with Stitchery stuff, but
Oh, don't you fucking talk shit about Stitch. You watch your goddamn fucking mouth, Gables. You know
what
what?
I'm
I take
saying
back what I
is.
said.
But what I'm saying is, when it comes to a lot of like these feel good kind of cozy games in general, and like these craft style of games and stuff, yeah, there was a lot of those present. It felt like the core demographic of this was more so for like aimed towards people that particularly just love playing these subset of games. Like it was more for like not more or less aimed towards like say you or I or something, but more or less like for people that don't really play too much like games in general.
Yeah. Like I'm all for like, you know, a nice little turn off your brain. Like I'm a guy
Yeah.
that buys every Picross the day it comes out on Switch and plays the fuck ton of it. It's been my game of the year for like 8 years running now. I just see some of these, I'm just like I'm not trying to be mean to the developers here. Like you like, you know, if you like this game it sells well, good for you. But I just don't get it. But I mean there's also people that play Elden Rings and like Sonic games, so who am I to know? always find a way to talk shit about Sonic games. I'm gonna like the next time I make fun of Sonic Gables, I'm gonna send a message to my parents. Like, look what your son's playing.
Just some pictures of the game.
Your son's playing a porn game right now. anyways, moving on here. Next game, Anton Blast. This is a high-speed action platformer about getting your collectibles back from the devil. It's kind of like a, kind of compare it to like a Saturday morning style. Kind of remind me of like almost like kind of looks like a Sega Genesis game. I keep thinking of like, oh, did I lose Gables? Oh, I lost Gables. All right, and we are back. Sorry about that. We had a little bit of technical difficulty issues with Skype. We'll call it that. But Gables, I was talking about Anton Blast. I don't know what you saw there. This is a high-speed action platformer about getting your collectibles back from the devil. Is like a it's supposed to be like they have a Saturday morning cartoon aesthetic. I was when I saw the trailer, I thought it was like a I was getting like Earthworm Jim vibes from like the art style, almost like Sega Genesis. But also, I thought it was like a when I did the live react, I'm like, I thought this was gonna be like a Wario Land style game. But
Dude.
I don't know. Well, this seems like this one looks up your alley, I thought.
Oh, absolutely. Because this is like almost. It definitely gave me the Wario Land vibes right immediately. Because of how kind of like frantic and like how kind of whimsical and stuff, a lot of the action and stuff. It also kind of reminded me of like a game that released like, I think maybe like a year and a half ago now called Pizza Tower, where that game is also kind of
Yeah.
like similar in terms
Okay.
of that style as well. But what I
Yeah.
will say is Anton Blast definitely looks like it's gonna. Definitely looks like something that I would want to play because it's something that kind of feels familiar, but at the same time it's crazy enough to where there's a lot of shit that's going on and stuff. It's basically kind of from what it looks like a side scroller and stuff. It looks like an Endless Runner style of game, only you have like a whole bunch of different tasks and stuff you got to do to try to finish certain levels. So yeah, that definitely is something that's up my alley, and there's that. And plus, the positive is there's a demo out for it today, so it's, well, right now, yeah, as recording.
Well, it's coming out November 12th. Yeah, so the demo is out now on Switch. It's coming time exclusive November 12th. It is already on Steam, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Might want to check on that Steam sale there, Gables.
Hey.
Yeah. Next up here, though, Valley Peaks is a first-person action adventure. You cast as a frog technician. Like, you climb, glide, swing with your tongue around a lo-fi world set to radio towers to fulfill other small town requests. You got like equipment along the way to like help you climb, make it a little easier. It's launching this year, but there is also a demo on Steam right now. So, I don't really have an opinion on this one. I think it looks fine. I like the style of it. I don't know, I probably dig this game. Like, if it's short, you know, if it's a few hours, I'm kind of like, could be like a little fun time, but I don't think this is something I foresee myself want to play a bunch of. What about you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm in the same boat, dude. I'm not going to play too much of the game either. I mean, at least with the previous game, Anton Blast and stuff, it's something kind of reminiscent of something familiar where it's like this. It's kind of hard for me to get into these style of games too often.
Yeah. Next up here, we have Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. We've seen this before. Yes. This is a surreal third-person adventure game about a woman summoned to an old Central European hotel to participate in some strange unnamed projects. You solve puzzles with shifting mechanics and perspectives as you unravel the mystery behind the hotel. So this is coming May 16th to Switch and Steam. There's some previews that have come out for it. But I've seen people seem pretty high on this one. I think like the designs of it, the vibes of it, like, are very cool. Like, I like what I'm seeing visually, as far as like the look and the design of it and the music and all that. I just don't think this is going to be a game that like I dig that much. What about you, Gables?
It looks like an incredibly intelligent game from the offset of it, because it seems like that this is the style of puzzle game to where you have to be super perceptive of like a lot of what the game is asking you. Like, you have to have some sort of high concentration with it. And with that, you know, I think that's fairly interesting in that aspect. I know personally myself, when it presented with some of these type of puzzle games, it takes me a long time just to go and solve them, because there are certain things that I'm not going to grasp unless I literally spend like a couple hours on it. And even then, that's still not a guarantee. Yeah, so with Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, I mean, it probably isn't a game for me, but at the same time, I think that this game is going to be a fairly fun one and stuff that's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people seem pretty high on it. I think this is going to be a game that, like, if this is a game for you, I think those people are going to love it, is the way I look at it. But it's one of those games not for everybody, as are most games. Next up here, Europa. This is a 3D platformer about an android Z exploring the lusciously terraformed but mysteriously abandoned moon of Jupiter. Oh, so it is the moon of Jupiter. Okay. You'll solve puzzles to fly through the air and navigate ruins as you find out where humans have gone. So definitely, there's a demo. I did download it. I have yet to play it. But at first I was like, okay, this whatever. But as I got to the gameplay of it, I'm like, kind of it was giving me like Journey, like almost like Breath of the Wild style, like kind of like stylized, but like almost like Journey style gameplay. Like you kind of flow with the wind. There's a little bit of platforming. I love the, like I said, I love the graphics of it. It's coming out this year. But like I said, there is a demo out now. But this one is clicking for me. What about you?
For this game, you know, I'm kind of still on the fence about it, you know, because there definitely are some core aspects that are different with this game as opposed to, say, like a Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom style of thing that we're more used to when seeing games of this style. But I think this is an ambitious game. I really do feel like that I kind of need to see a little bit more of the gameplay itself, plus probably wait on reviews before I make a conscious decision about it. But it definitely has some potential for it.
Yeah. Well, and there is that demo. I do want to check out the demo. So I might do that tomorrow. Next up, Gables, I'm going to guess this was your game of the show. TMNT Splintered Fate. Am I right?
Oh yeah, it was up there with Anton Blast, but yeah, this is one of those games I was definitely looking forward to seeing more of.
Okay, so this is openly inspired by Hades. So apparently this game is out. It's been out on like mobile for a while. People have been like raving about it. So it's really good. It is a up to four player roguelike adventure that's already available, like I said, on mobile devices. You can play as the four turtles. Very much like it's a roguelike, so you go through the levels, you know, you die, you can bring your shit back to you. You get like kind of random draws and stuff like that. This is gonna be a time exclusive. It does have drop in, drop out online multiplayer up to four players. It's coming to Switch in July. Gables, I mean, yeah, like I said, I figured it's your game of the show. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, I'll tell you this aspect and stuff. I am excited for this game. It's one of those games where I would be more excited to play it if it's not on the Switch. But yeah,
exactly.
The thing about this game that really is interesting to me is, like, you go through each levels and different type of runs. It's a roguelike experience, obviously, where you have these different type of attacks or different types of styles of, like, things you can do with each character based upon an individual run. And once that run ends and all your turtles and stuff like that are pretty much done for that run, you lose all those type of abilities. The only things that will be, like, permanent stuff is, like, from what you invest in, sort of, like, your stats and stuff, or in terms of, like, runes, I think they're called. Yeah. Or some sort of artifacts. Yeah, I think that's what they were calling them. Artifacts. Okay. And these style of artifacts and stuff, I'm not sure. They haven't really gone into detail in terms of, in that trailer, what these artifacts can particularly do. But I am guessing that it's to improve things like speed, like stamina, like strength, like health and stuff. But I love this core aspect. It's because it's something incredibly different from, like, the Turtles franchise in general, where it's mostly beat-em-ups or... It's not just beat-em-ups, though, but there are some weird ones and stuff that there are, like, for fighting games. There's been one weird one where it was on the Game Boy where it's almost like a Metroidvania. That was the third TMNT game on Game Boy. I mean, I've played a little bit of that, like, upon the whole Turtles collection or some a few years back. But, yeah, you know, this is definitely something along the lines that I've been kind of waiting for, to see what certain franchises could do with, like, say, a roguelike experience, like, similar to that of Hades or from, like, some other points of games and stuff. And I'm actually kind of glad we're seeing more of this type of style, but I just don't want it... I just don't want, like, roguelike games to be as flooded or, like, overused, to say, like, what the Metroidvania genre is now, where it's, yeah, like, everything has to be a Metroidvania, or everything has to be an open-world game, or everything has to be, like,
a roguelike,
a cozy because game. What makes the roguelike genre so, like, robust and makes it feel much more endearing is because even though you're dying over and over and over again, you're still earning some form of a benefit that'll help make your character stronger for the next run, and that's the overall appeal. It's the start off incredibly weak, get incredibly overpowered before the end of the game. It's that sense of power. It's that sense of urgency. And so with this one for TMNT, I'm curious how that progression's going to be, because from what we saw from some of the levels in the get-go, yeah, there's some little basic stuff. There's some, like, obviously familiar enemies you're facing, like the Foot Clan and stuff, and Shredder and this stuff. But some of the opening levels didn't really look so, inspiring and stuff. It kind of still looked like there was some mobile-esque sort of things going on with it. So that's probably why that they are having, like, a time... release thing, like, say, in July and stuff for the Switch.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to seeing more levels and also more of the abilities you can do with the turtles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've seen kind of, like, a nice little comeback lately with the turtles. We had, like, the really great movie that came out last year, Troy's Revenge, a couple of years ago. There was another turtles game that just came out recently, or it's coming out soon.
I'm not entirely too sure. There was another turtles game that's supposed to be coming out, and that was something separate than what we saw at the Nindies Direct.
Yeah, I thought the Wrath of the Mutants, is that what it is?
I think so. I mean, I haven't seen anything in regards about that.
Or Mutants Unleashed, I think that's what it is.
Mutants Unleashed, okay.
One of those two, I don't know, I haven't heard anything about it. I just know there's one coming or it's out now. Yeah, I thought this looked pretty good. Yeah, definitely, like, the already being on mobile is a little concerning. But, you know, like, apparently it's a really good mobile game, so there's that. So that's, but this company's never worked on a console game before. This is the first console game, so we'll see how it goes. And, yeah, it's on, like, like when I did the live react, that was like my biggest bummer was like of all this, I was like, all right, cool. That game looks cool. But, oh, online, awesome. Like I'll definitely, you know, Gables and I probably have a good time playing through this game together. Oh, it's on Switch. Yeah. Fuck. Okay. So it's like it was like a roller coaster emotions of like, oh, this game looks really good. Oh, it's a mobile game. Oh, it's apparently it's a good mobile game. Oh, it's on Switch. Okay. Well, fuck.
That's just the thing, Tyler. So, it's like the best time we've ever had playing Nintendo Switch online and stuff inside of a game is like when you and I were both playing like Super Mario Brothers Wonder and stuff, and like we were both in the same world and stuff, but you were doing your thing, I was doing my thing and stuff, and we could follow each other, but we're not like impeding upon one another.
Yeah,
there's stutters or anything.
One of our PS5s in a party chat talking. So, so fucking goddamn. Next up here, though, this game's starting to get with me. I've seen it, like, I swear, like 50 million times. I think normally by, like, you know, after like the 10th time you see something, you're like, I'm just like, even a game that you're excited for, it's like, I'm just tired of seeing it. And now, like, the first, like, I don't know, like, the half dozen times I saw this, I'm like, I don't give a shit. And now I'm like, I'm kind of in. Cat Quest 3 coming out August 8th. Unfortunately, coming out the same day as another game we'll talk about later. This is you go to the world of Pyrbean. It's like you're like a pirate cat thing. It's like a dungeon crawler. Apparently, so the first two are pretty good. There is a demo out. I should probably just check out that demo. But I don't know. I thought like you're just kind of like a dungeon crawling cat that with like a million cat puns. The game, like, it's not super duper long. Kind of just like a fun little, you know, have a good time, get in and out. And yeah, it's like coming out August 8th. I've seen it quite a bit. I think it looks fun. I'll check out that demo. I don't know, Gibbles, what about you?
I've never really gotten into the Cat Quest series, but from what I've seen and what I've initially have read from like other people that have played it, well, just that series in general, apparently they're good games, but yeah, they're like maybe like a couple of handful of hours long and stuff like that, but it's so popular to the point now they're at the third game, so they're doing something right with it.
yeah. Next up here, we have a nice little shadow drop, maybe the greatest game of all time. If anybody says anything bad about it, I will fly to their home in Washington and punch them in the face. That's a game called Stitch. It's a puzzle game, about handmade, embroidery, if I say that correctly, knit together, groups of cells, to complete hoops based on cute designs of bees, penguins, tigers, and so many more. This was a shadow drops out today. It's $15. It was funny because I said, like, when I did the live react, I was like, this game looks great. Like, I'm a big fan of Picross, and it's like, kind of sucks is like, there really isn't like Picross games aren't like pretty much exclusively on Switch. Like, there's no mobile. There are like some knockoff ones, but they're kind of like poorly made, and like some got like a million fucking ads and kind of ruins the whole experience for you. But there's no like actual like Picross games on there, just knockoffs. And so I love to have like on the go fucking Picross game I can play. And this one, they have like daily puzzles you can solve too. Like, they put them out new ones every single day. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I don't want that on my Switch, cause I like to, like, I know like you bring your Switch on the go, blah, blah, blah. But like when I'm at work, or like I'm on my lunch break, you know, I'm stuck in a truck. I'd love to just have that to play. And I don't want to bring my Switch to me, keep it in my truck, worry about getting stolen, blah, 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 so on and so forth. I'm like, man, I wish this game was on mobile. Good news, Gables. It's on mobile. Bad news, Gables, it's an Apple Arcade that's $7 a month. I will pay you the money to let me just, I'll pay them $5 to put this on mobile. I don't care. I'll pay the $15. I don't give a fuck. Let me just have this game on my phone. I think this game looks like a ton of fun. This looks like, this is some Tyler fucking shit right here. I am in. Gables, if you could only say nice things about it, what would you say?
It looks endearing.
Okay, moving on. I don't want to stick around too long. You start saying mean things. I'm going to have to start booking plane tickets.
And thus, you can learn how to embroider something, so that way, whenever, you know, you get your package of Stellar Blade and stuff, you can just conveniently put it inside a little package and no one know you're playing smut games.
You know I have your address, right?
I know. I'm setting myself up for stuff, but
Gables,
still,
you know what I'm gonna
I'm so
send you.
tempted.
I'm gonna send you the biggest fucking piece of like wallpaper I can find. A fucking Stellar Blade. I'm gonna have put your mother's name on it.
Oh, no,
And
we're not.
so then she will open that said poster and it'll say put on Gable's wall. So if you better watch your goddamn tone with me, young man. You know you're older than me. Don't say bad things about Stitch. All right? Son of a bitch. How many? I've never said anything bad about the games you like other than Sonic. Like, I might have made one or two jokes about Sonic. Other than that, that's it. On this podcast, that's it. Moving on here. Last minute, but certainly not least, Gables. Oh, baby, it's back. I never thought it would happen. One of my favorite games from 2015. Played that entire game on my 3DS. Good time right there on my 3DS. Played through the entire game in like one weekend on my 3DS while watching Making a Murderer on Netflix. That's my memory with this game. I love this game. And there was also the Firefly reference in that game. We are getting a sequel to SteamWorld Heist. That's right. SteamWorld Heist 2 is coming. Tactic shooter. The first one was in space and it was beautiful and I loved everything about it. We're getting a sequel. It's coming August 8th. Also, Gables, fun fact,
yes,
coming to you day one on Game Pass. So fuck
nice.
You right, Daddy-O. I am in best deal in gaming. So it's a tactical shooter. This one though, you're like, you're actually like, I guess more of a pirate. And you're just going to doing different battles. There's like a job system in this one as well. Apparently you can find other optional characters to join your ship, which is kind of the same thing in the first one. The first one though, I think if I remember correctly, was like the 10-ish hour mark. This one, Gables, is at least 35 hours.
Oh, wow. That's pretty beefy.
Yeah. Gables, not great. But anyways, I don't know. It's so weird. Like I've been wanting forever a SteamWorld Heist 2. And then I'm like, fuck yeah. And then I find out it's 35 plus hours. I'm like, God damn it. It's like, it's too much. It's too much of a good thing. It's like when you go to Dairy Queen, you get like the extra large Blizzard. And you're like, I should have just got the medium. Should have just got the medium. It's too much of a good thing. maybe just got me a medium instead. To make a medium SteamWorld Heist 2.
Yes.
But man, fuck yeah. I think
situation.
I've done all I know, Gables, I'm fat and I like wrestling. Okay, so all I know is wrestling analogies and Dairy Queen analogies. That's all I have. Okay, don't make fun of me. All right, you've already made fun of me for liking smut games. All right, you know, the only thing I can make fun of you for is liking Sonic. That's all I got. Okay?
Okay,
I have a million problems. You like Sonic. Okay, obviously your one thing is worse than my a million things, but we can deal with that another day. Moving on. Remember at the beginning of the podcast where I said I was tired? Miriam, so I'm super pumped for this. It's coming out day one. Coming day one of the Game Pass. This was gonna be a day one buy. I've done, I don't know, a few dozen live reactions at this point, and of all those, this was the most fucking like pumped I got for a live react. Never thought that we saw. So they made like the little Steam pun before it happened. I'm like, we're gonna get SteamWorld Dig 3 or something, because like I was. Okay, that's SteamWorld Dig 2 was considered by a lot of people one of the best games ever made, especially at least one of the best indie games ever made. And the fact that, I know they've done SteamWorld Quest, which I heard kind of came out and it was fine. I never played that one, but I heard it was pretty good. They had SteamWorld Builder come out last year, and people seem to really like that one. I think that might be in early access still. But the fact that we got a SteamWorld Heist 2, baby, I am excited. Outside the 35 hour mark. But Gables, if you can only say nice things about Stitch and also talk about SteamWorld Dice 2, what would you say?
What I'll say this, though, is like I really like the direction and stuff for SteamWorld Heist 2. I mean, that definitely looks like it's going to be a fun-ass game. I mean, I immediately thought of you when that thing initially was revealed. I'm thinking, oh, well, Tyler's going to be sunk into this for a good solid month and a half or so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm going to play the fuck out. I'm going to put like 75 hours in this game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fairly man. Easily.
Yeah, this game. Oh, boy. Go ahead.
Well, like I was just saying, just in wrapping up with it, I mean, yeah, it's going to look like it's going to be a great game. I mean, the first game did fairly well, and I do know for a fact it's like if you were even thinking about trying SteamWorld Heist 2, I mean, the other SteamWorld games, they go on sale, like, frequently and stuff. You can always pick them up for sometimes, like, not even a few dollars or something. So keep your eyes on that from any of the storefronts, Steam, like, Switch, PlayStation, yeah. Xbox, and something. Fairly good kind of games and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, it's funny because I was doing the live react. I was like, I was just thinking about this game literally a couple days ago because there are like all of them, like PlayStation, Xbox, all these places are doing sales right now. And
yes,
it was weird because I already own it. Like I own it on Switch. I own it on 3DS. I own it on PS4. And like I saw like a advertisement for like the current sale going on right now. And SteamWorld Heist was like one of the games. I was like, oh man, it's like, I would love to play that game again right now. And then boom, like a couple days later, I remember a couple, like, was that like 2020 or something like that, 2021, where like I tweeted out, man, I'd love if we got a Hyrule Warriors sequel. And then literally like 6 hours later, they announced the Hyrule Warriors sequel. They see the announcement for that. So like that was that moment again for this one here for SteamWorld Heist 2. But anyways, that was all the stuff from the show. I think there were 17 games there. Gables, what was your final thoughts on the Nintendo Indie World?
Well, that Indie World Direct, I thought that it wasn't that bad. I actually thought there were plenty of good points, like good games and stuff that I felt that I was interested. Obviously, Anton Blast, and also with the Turtles and stuff, that roguelike Turtles game. Kind of crazy to think that there's a roguelike Ninja Turtles game now. I thought that the overall presentation of it was fine and stuff. There were definitely plenty of games inside this thing that didn't really appeal to me. But in terms of the other games that were there, I mean some of them looked fine, some of them looked like they're okay and stuff. I mean, SteamWorld Heist 2, that's a big drop right there in terms of a big name game from the indie space and stuff that people have been looking forward to, delving back into the SteamWorld Heist kind of series in and of itself. But if I had to give it a rating or something in terms of overall just rating, I would give it like a 6 out of 10, only because there were plenty of games and stuff that I wasn't really that much interested in. I will say this, though. I'm not really too much into cozy games as much, but at the same time, I do recognize that there were plenty of fun stuff to be had with some of the games that I liked. So that's kind of like what I just did with this. So, yeah, 6 out of 10 for me.
6 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. For me.
Okay. We just went this whole list, and you're telling me 6 out of 10, Gibbles.
Yeah. I know it sounds preposterous and stuff, but yet, I didn't say the games were bad or anything. I'm just saying that that's just kind of my overall interest level.
Bet there was a Sonic game in there, you would have gave it like a 9 out of 10, wouldn't you? You son of a bitch.
6 now, out of 10, my ass. I don't think so.
It's getting a 9.8 out of 10, Gables. It's getting a 9.8 out of 10, okay? The only reason it's not getting that 0.2 is because there's too many goddamn cozy games out there, and I'm sick of it. Anyways, moving on. I thought it was really good. Like, obviously, I talk about all the time, like, with these smaller ones here, like the non-big ones. There's, like, sometimes there's not a lot of news out of them. Some of them, like, you watch these, like, Gables has watched these, and like, I don't know, the guy apparently has taste, Gables here, but he's watched some of these, and he's like, oh man, there's a million in here I liked, and I watched it, I'm like, this bored the fuck out of me. Like, the Xbox third-party one we had, like, a couple months ago, like, people were raving about that thing, I'm like,
yep.
I was bored out of my goddamn mind at this one. You know, it's like, the one, but we had the Nintendo Indie World thing 2 months ago, I want to say, and I was like, man, there was like four games out there that I'm really excited for. But I'm going to play none of them on my Switch. And it's kind of the same thing here. Like, I look at like Little Kitty Big City. I'm playing that on Game Pass. That was going to be a day one buy regardless. Scrolling through here on more of these here. It's like you're looking forward to Anton Blast. That's already on Steam. Yep. Or you can wait till November 12th to play that on Switch. Keep scrolling here. Europa is a game I'm looking forward to. I don't know if that is a Switch exclusive, though. If it is... I'll play it there. But like that's a game I'm looking forward to. TMNT Splintered Fate, I don't want to play on Switch, but I'm going to have to. So I guess that tells you about that one. Cat Quest 3, Stitch, SteamWorld Heist 2 are all games I am super pumped to play, and I don't plan on playing any of those. I guess I'll probably have to end up playing Stitch on my Switch because I can't Stitch on Switch. But it's a game I'd love to just buy on my mobile, on my iPhone, and just play it on there. Like I said, I'd pay full price to play the game on there, but I can't. I have to fucking sign up for $7 a month of Apple Arcade, and I don't want to, Gables. I don't want to. Yeah, 9.8 out of 10. Can't talk me out of it. Moving on. Fucking 6.5 out of 10. playing smut games over here. Anyways, Gables. I'm just bitter now. moving on. Fallout is having was the best. Fallout 4 was the best selling game in Europe last week.
Yeah, it was.
Sales were up 7,500% compared to the week before.
Oh, Lord.
Fallout 76 obtained a new concurrent peak height on Steam of 64K. There are currently more Bethesda, which Bethesda now owned by Microsoft, more Bethesda games on PlayStation Network's top 25 games than there are PlayStation games. Obviously we had the Fallout TV show that's come out. I've watched the first episode. I really like it. I'm going to keep watching it. But so far been really, really good. It's the thing we keep seeing over and over again. I think we talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but I know we talked about it before or after. And I was like, I cannot believe they didn't have a Fallout game ready. Obviously the Fallout 4 next gen updates are coming out. I think it's next week. To consoles, but I'm just like, man, like I'm stunned they didn't have something like ready to go, whether it's like the Fallout 3 remake or like fucking like just I'm not saying crunch, but like, man, like moves people around, like, hey, fucking, what are you doing over there? Get your fucking ass over here. Like, oh, you work in catering, don't give a shit, start coding, we need you over here to get this game ready to go. Put it out now. Hey, it's still okay. It's great selling. It's selling so well, but it's like the games are like $5-$10. So I don't know how much. Like I don't know how much money like it's actually making. What 7,500% more actually means when you're the world's richest company. I don't know. That's pretty cool though. It's something we've been talking about forever and ever. Is like these companies like this is like the benefit of like putting out good quality video game movies and TV shows.
Absolutely. You've seen that
with Witcher. Last of Us got the bump. Obviously, Last of Us got the kind of like triple dipped because they put out like the remake, and then the show came out. Then like people started playing it more, but started buying on PlayStation more, and then they put it on Steam afterwards, and people bought it again. I've seen that with like new Super Mario Brothers, like are Mario Brothers movie last year, where that movie came out, made like $1.5 billion, and then like all of a sudden. All the Mario games on the Switch like got gigantic spikes because of it. So we see that like, even if you don't have the brand new thing there, people will go and play it. But obviously, it probably helps to have the new big thing. But like, I don't know, doesn't really seem to matter. So, and also Fallout Season 2 has been confirmed. So it's pretty fucking sweet. So I imagine this time they're going to, when that Season 2 comes out, probably next year. They film in September. So I'm going to bet next year maybe. Maybe they'll have like a Fallout thing ready to go, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Give us what we got on this one, buddy.
Well, if there's anything that we can say is that, like what you said before, a successful TV series, a successful movie or something like that, it does pay off dividends in the world of gaming, especially if it's tied to a very popular gaming franchise. With Fallout... Yeah, with the Fallout series and stuff, it had been stagnant for a while because of the blunders of Fallout 76. But obviously with the series that just came out and stuff, leading to more people wanting to delve into the world of like the Fallout series in general. I mean, we were seeing sales like for Fallout 3, New Vegas, like 76. I mean, even the original like couple of like Fallout games for PC, all those games were on sale. But I will say this though, it's like Fallout 4 and all of its DLC was attainable for like $10 all in all. That's a fantastic deal for that entire package. But yeah, these games have been out for years, obviously, but this is very much a clear sign and stuff for not only just Bethesda, but also Microsoft as well. It's like, if they have like another, the next time they announce like another like Fallout game or something that's in development and stuff, people are going to be fucking wanting to play that day one. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. I hope Gables, when they ever make a Street Fighter movie, they just re-release the one from the 90s. And just say, like, just give me Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia chewing up the scenery. You know, it's like, what was it? When I came to your village and destroyed your town, that was the, or when you, when, what was it? Like the, like that was the greatest day of your life. For me, it was a Tuesday or whatever.
That was
like
Raul Julia talking with Chun-Li.
Yeah, he's like, you know, like, at the end, he's like, game over. Like, oh, god damn. Like, you know what? That movie's good. So fuck you guys for saying that movie's bad, all right? Give me more of that. That was his last movie. He died after that. And people talk shit about it. That's his great, man. People want to talk about fucking Adam's Family. Fuck off Adam's Family. Give me more fucking Street Fighter with Raul Julia. I don't know. Did we?
Dude. Yeah, never mind. Come on.
Great movie.
Dude, it's crazy that actually could be argued as probably one of his best roles.
What the fuck? Don't talk. What are you trying to hurt me this week, Gables? Talk about me playing smut games. You're going after Stitch for no reason. And now you're going to talk shit about Raul Julia?
Well, actually, Raul Julia I liked very much. So I'm just saying, though, that I really did like his role inside of that Street Fighter movie. You know?
I'll take it back. I apologize. I overreacted.
Yeah. Well, hey. Yeah, I actually didn't know he died like a little bit like after the film of that movie. Yeah. So that's kind of surprising, though.
Yeah, it's very sad. It's like, it's weird. Yeah. Anyway, but anyway, yeah, way to go out, though. Fucking just only one that took that movie seriously, probably. Actually, probably the fact that he didn't take it seriously at all is why that movie is so great in that movie.
Probably.
Jean-Claude Van Damme trying to like, yeah, I'm going to earn a fucking Academy Award for this. And like, Raul Julia is like, oh man, they're paying me like way too much to do this shit movie. I don't care. Let's just fucking go. And he killed it. One take the whole thing. Anyways, moving on, Gables, some other stuff here. We talked about this, like, I'm kind of surprised this came like became a big thing this week. Because we talked about this a few weeks ago. Insider Gaming brought this up. All the specs from the PS5 Pro. Some other people have kind of, you know, added to it and kind of talk about it more.
Yes.
The kind of the big thing I think that's come out of this is the fact that there was a YouTuber. I'm going to pull up the article because I brought the YouTubers. I have to write it down before we did this. Moore's Law is Dead. His name is a YouTube channel. They actually posted some material about it on their YouTube channel. And then Sony had a copyright takedown of said video. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, typically we see that pretty somewhat often when there's a pretty big leak that happens. But to have somebody have a copyright takedown, that means that the company has to have a copyright of it. That means it is real. So any doubt you have in your mind of this PS5 Pro not happening, you can just believe it now. It's happening.
Yeah, that's pretty much long story short. I mean, we kind of had a feeling that the PS5 Pro existed to begin with. I mean, not just because of the rumor stuff, but also because of the trickling of things from like credible sources, obviously with Grub being one, but this with Insider Gaming and stuff and with IGN and stuff and this whole document thing popping up. I mean, it's kind of hard to dispute now that this thing is not real. I mean, look at this. Just look at it from this perspective. I mean, other than what Sony's been doing over the past year or some, or even towards the end of this year, there's like minimal first party games. A lot of their most popular things right there is like with their hardware sales and stuff like that. I mean, having a PS5 Pro like towards the end of the year does make a lot of sense for them. I mean, and it's also fairly telling that they felt that the PS5 is like pretty much like at its like middle of its life cycle. And now we're at the bottom end of its life cycle, which that's incredibly hilarious coming to me still, because hardly anybody were able to attain that console until like almost 2 or 3 years after its launch.
Yeah. I mean, you got to remember, this is like the guy that's at the interim while Jim Ryan's gone. So it's like,
well,
this
yes,
guy that's brought
yes.
in from a different division. So I don't know how much he knows or Maybe he just said too much. Maybe he's actually like completely right. He just kind of said it. Like, it's just like, it's so stern and like, so like, like kind of negative in a way, like that you like, you can't believe, like usually when they like say shit, like in these board meetings or like, I think this was the quarterly financials. Like they like try to like, you know, turn a little bit, twist a little bit to make it sound like nicer than it is, or try to like, you know, use some salad dressing, like just kind of spruce up a little bit. So like it sounds, you know, like better than it is. Like, hey, we heard that, you know, shareholders really like NFTs, so we're just going to throw NFTs in there, like whatever the hot topic is, AI or something. And it's like, no, like, hey, like we hit the peak. It's not going to do better than what I did. So we're moving on. So it's like, oh, okay. So
yeah,
weird.
That's incredibly horrible. If you're in a business and stuff, and you're trying to push a product, and you're telling people already, it's like, yeah, we're at the end of the life cycle of this device right here, and we have nothing else that's planned currently. It's like, that's a good surefire way of freaking out your shareholders.
Yeah, or like gamers, and you just like just lit a match to tribalism online with the Xbox or the PlayStation.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm still like, I don't like, obviously, like I don't think they're gonna, I think they're probably gonna announce this thing pretty close to launch. Like, typically when like these new hardware things come out, they wait till it's like coming, like it's in, yes, like it's like a couple, yes, weeks away, because they don't want people to stop buying the old one because they wait for the new one. I could be wrong. I've been, like I said, I've said before, I've been doing this podcast almost 11 years now. I've probably been wrong more than I've been right. I just don't, what is the selling point of this thing? You know, like we knew, like, okay, like when the PS4, like I was like the PS4 Pro and all the Xbox One X were announced, I'm like, I don't want this fucking thing. Like, this is stupid. And then like, once I saw like, oh, okay, we're HDR, 4K, all that. Like, okay. I get it now. Like once I saw that thing, I was like, okay, I'm in, I'm fucking in. You know, like, but they all said like Horizon Zero Dawn was like coming shortly after the PS4 Pro came out. And that was like the selling piece. Obviously we don't know, like maybe Ghost of Tsushima is coming early next year and that's gonna be the big selling piece. Like, that can make sense. But I'm like, what is that big thing other than like, I'm sure they're gonna have their version of DLSS, but like we're talking what, 4K 60 is like that, like the big selling point, which, hey, that's great. But it's like, is that enough for me to want to pay? And my prediction is $600. And the disc drive is separate. That's my prediction. I don't think they're going to drop the price of the base PS5. I think this one will be the very expensive version of it. I could see them just being $600 with the disc drive, but I think they're going to try to separate it. But who knows? Could be wrong.
Well, you think that. I think it's probably going to be a little bit higher than that, dude. I don't think it's going to be like $600. No, I think it's going to be close to about, maybe like around close to that $700 like price range or something like that. Even though people are pretty much like at the point where it's like, hey, people pay close to those type of number stuff for certain cell phones and stuff like that. But it's like,
yeah, PC.
Think about it this
shit,
way: so if they're gonna go ahead and push like the gaming system or something where it's just gonna tout is like maybe a 4K like 60 frames per second type of shit and stuff like that. Of course, they're gonna try to maximize the things with the rising cost of everything. So it's like, $700 console for a PlayStation, you know, at for this PS5 Pro on top of whatever type of game or something that's going to be like a showpiece for, that makes a lot of sense. But like, the biggest thing they have to try to convince consumers, especially the ones that have already bought a PS5, is like, is this really worth the price of investment? I mean, why would I want to buy the next like iteration or something like that of the PS5? If there is other devices that can easily like outperform it in terms of the specs that we kind of desire for it. Like, for example, if I'm just assuming that this PS5 Pro does like the whole 4K 60 frames and stuff like that without having to go to like a high performance, like a
go 1080 60,
like just go 1080 60 or just like a performance mode, you know,
4K 30,
either 4K or like the 1080p and some like freaking 60 frames per second stuff. But yeah, a lot of PCs that are released now can do that and then some and stuff.
Yeah,
so
but they're a lot more than $700 though.
Well, no, yeah, exactly, a lot of them are a lot more than, say, like $700 and stuff. But yeah. But even if you don't care in terms of like having both 4K and like six like 60 frames per second and stuff. I mean, there's not really more of an incentive to just want to upgrade stuff. Other than the very die-hard people, it's like, oh, I want the next PlayStation model. I want the newest thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, you're still, I mean, I don't know if I'm there for the $700 part of it. I could see it. But I could see, like, I can see where you come from. I think that's actually not the worst. That's actually not a bad idea because, I mean, from what I understand, the PS4 Pro and Xbox One X didn't really they didn't sell poorly, but they weren't like people didn't come out in droves to like upgrade to the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X. That wasn't like a huge thing that happened. Like people like some, like it was, it sold well enough, but it wasn't like it's, but also they kept the base one around. They dropped the price of the base one. Like I think like the Xbox One S was out. The PS4 Pro went down to $300. So there's a decent price gap between those two. So, you know, we're talking between difference of like $550 if you want the PS5 Slim, and then you have to buy a disc drive, or $700, you know, for that. Like, maybe you just pay the extra $150 at that point and get the better one. And also, like, yeah, if this is a very niche, whatever you want to say, system, yeah, you can like, all right, cool. Yeah, we know we're not gonna get like this. We're not gonna get the masses for this one. Like the if you want the PS5, you can get this for $500. But right. For like the hardcore, like that's the small. That's like, you know, probably yeah, like a smaller part of the audience here. Here's this one for $700, and like those people will get it. Like the big techies out there, the ones that people have the money to spend on it. Yeah, we'll probably pay that $700 to get the next hot thing, even if it's not the biggest upgrade in the world. They'll do it. Someone like me, like, you know, like maybe 10 years ago when I had more, you know, when, financially I was doing better, I would have like said, fuck it and upgraded to it. Nowadays I'm like, no, that's like, you know, fuck that. You know, I got rent to pay. you know, like, I guess like if my PS5 broke and I had to buy a brand new one, I guess then yeah, sure. I'd pay the extra money, but like, you know, like right now, knock on wood, my launch PS5 is still working, so I'm gonna just stick with that one. But also I'm like, yeah, I'm like, if unless we're talking some big huge innovation thing that we just don't understand or don't know about, I don't know who it's for.
Just in closing and stuff, Sony really hasn't announced like a key core factor that's going to entice people to want to buy the next PlayStation yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But I mean, they haven't officially announced it yet, and we don't know what games are coming from. So we do have the sounds like the showcase coming next month. So maybe they'll announce some big games coming fairly soon, and then they'll use those games to kind of show off their new console. So, but let's move on here, Gables. Some other news this week: Nintendo will not be at Gamescom. So take that for what you will. I guess they're like really they're barely there anyway. They just usually have some stations set up. So you can play like games that are like already out or like, coming soon. Now they're just not gonna be there this year, so it doesn't sound like much. But also, I mean, you look at it like, what are they gonna bring there? Like they've had some games. They've had like a lot of games coming out, like planned to come out this year, but they're like all like, C and D tier games coming out for them. A lot of remakes and like Princess Peach, Showcase, Showtime, whatever it was. So like. They don't have a Tears of the Kingdom bringing this one. They don't have a new Super Mario Brothers coming to bring this one. You know, it's like, it's kind of what we expect. I think it's going to be a pretty, you know, I think from we all know, for the big three, or for at least from, you know, Nintendo and PlayStation, it's going to be a pretty light year from them, potentially the big publishers. But like you keep looking at these 9.8 out of 10 Indie World showcases. Might be a great year to play some indie games. Gables, do you take anything from this at all?
Well, honestly, no, not really. I think it's just a case of just Nintendo just wanting to skip out on that thing because they don't have anything like really substantial they want to do with that event.
Yeah, and I've heard people like, I mean, you can make the argument either way to fulfill whatever argument you want to make, whether like, well, this might mean we might have a Switch 2 coming shortly after or before, or like this obviously means there won't be the Switch 2 won't be announced before Gamescom. So, I mean, I've heard the arguments both ways, so I feel like you can kind of plug in whatever evidence, like whatever thing you want to say to fulfill your argument you want to make. But next up here, Haze Light, who made like It Takes Two, A Way Out, and Brothers Tale Two Sons, said they will reveal their next game this year. So
hey.
I'm gonna I'm gonna bet money it'll be at the Summer Games Fest with Jeff Keighley. So
that's a strong chance. Yes.
Yeah, he's been there multiple times before. He revealed It Takes Two there a couple of years ago, and then also they won Game of the Year in 2021. I want to say, so that makes sense. Comedy Central is making a Golden Axe show.
Okay. I had to take a little bit just to process that.
I was waiting for this. I was so happy. You didn't disappoint me.
Okay, so basically what you're telling me here is Comedy Central is making a show based upon the Sega series Golden Axe.
Yes.
What the actual fuck is going on here?
This is the greatest day ever. Yes!
Dude. Okay. My question is, did they show an initial trailer of this?
No, they just announced it's happening.
Okay, now I'm really concerned here because I understand...
Concerned or delighted?
I think I'm kind of fearful of this, dude, because I understand, like, freaking Golden Axe and stuff is traditionally a beat-em-up. A lot of, like, things, you know, like this high fantasy, so like wizardry type of stuff and stuff, but I don't know how I feel really of it being like a comedic sort of show, dude.
Gables, I don't have a fuck clue. It's happening though, so it's gonna be a 10 episode animated series. Yeah.
Okay. 10 episode animated series. Okay, that even makes it feel even worse somehow.
I mean, they do have South Park, so they have. Who I don't fucking know. But anyways, that's all I wanted. That's the only reason I want to bring it up, because I just want to see your face when I told you. So, next up here, take this with a very light salt, but there has been apparently some work rumors, discussion, whatever. Persona 1 and 2 remakes are in the works.
Well, honestly, that wouldn't be too surprising at all, considering how successful the other Persona games have been doing over the past 10 years, though. But this is finally Sega and Atlus, like, finally getting on the ball here. I mean, let's look at it this way. I mean, it took Atlus how long to get their games across multiple systems? The Persona game series in general across multiple systems other than PlayStation. So it doesn't surprise me that there will eventually be like Persona 1 and then 2 remakes. But the last kind of rumor I was hearing is that they're more focusing on just getting out 6 first and then doing those initial remakes.
Yeah. I hope they make them and then they put them on Vita exclusively. So.
Oh. Here you go. Our games are on this system. You can't even buy in retail anymore.
Yeah. We made 12 copies. Anyways, that's it for like other news this week. Let's move on to what we've been playing. Gables, I'm going to tell you right off the top of bat. It's just been more Helldivers for me. That's pretty much all I've been playing. So, Gibbles, what have you been playing, buddy?
All right, so you've played a bunch of Helldivers and stuff. I did play a little bit more of Elytro, and I did sort of like the same things that I have been doing to this game, to where I've done a couple of different runs and stuff. There are some custom, like, Jokers or something that I have played, you know, that's kind of, like, a little bit different. Like, you have certain Jokers and stuff that'll give you multiplier bonuses based upon if you do a pair or a flush or a freaking, like, a straight or anything else like that. What I could say about this game is, like, this is really making me want to play fucking poker in real life, because now I'm starting to learn different types of, like, all the different types of, like, moves and stuff you could do, like, inside of a poker game. Because that's the thing, that poker has always been like a sort of a game to where it's always existed, but I've never knew how the fucking games, like the actual game of poker worked. And so it's like learning a bit of this on top of like doing these multipliers actually make it much more fun and easily approachable for me. But, ever since the last recording we did and stuff, when I was talking about Pilatro last, I mean, the longest run I've had literally was like about a little over an hour or so. But I got to ante, like, 6 or something like that. I finally got to, like, the boss bet and stuff. But I lost that one because I didn't have enough cards to do the modifiers and stuff to make it past that 20,000-some-odd points I had to score within those realms and stuff. But another couple aspects about this game that I love about it is when you get to the initial, like, the options for like the store settings and stuff for what you need to buy during the middle of your runs and stuff. I mean, some of these cards and like other things presentable can be very much out there. Like there's an actual Joker to where it's just random multipliers. So sometimes they'll do like a times two multiplier if you're doing like when you're executing a move or something, and like it'll add like randomly a plus like a times two, or sometimes it's times 20, or sometimes it's times like 17 or something like that. But there's other times and stuff where you have like a Joker that will go and say give multiple like multiplier bonuses based upon like say if you play a specific card suit, like say diamonds or clubs or hearts, you know, or spades or something like that. But then you have like other types of card like tarot cards that could convert certain cards to one type, or planet cards that will help increase the levels of specific types of card combinations you do. Like for example, if you draw say an earth card, for example, and it increases you having to in like increase the level of say drawing like a like playing a straight or playing a pair or playing like a flush like a or a full house or something. Every time you execute that and then you get all these planet cards to increase the levels of it, it gives you more points every time you do that. So leveling up those particular types of card suits and stuff or those plays are instrumental for you trying to clear like even more like levels in attempt to get to the last bit of this game. Like I still haven't beaten Balatro, mind you, but I still love playing it. I have like about close to 10 hours playing this game, and
Nice.
that's something that I have been looking for like a card-based game. I mean, hell, I've so been so much more akin to playing Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff, like Legacy of Duelist, getting back into trying to playing that game as of late, to where I have like a literally over 100 and like 40 some odd hours just playing that damn game. And that's just me experimenting with different decks and stuff like that. Like the current thing I'm doing is like an Exodia deck or something, and I'm playing through, I've played through the entire campaign and stuff, the original Yu-Gi-Oh, did all the reverse duels. I've finished the core aspect of going through Yu-Gi-Oh! GX and stuff, but I have not done any of the reverse duels deck. I do the thing where it's like I try the story deck of like certain characters and stuff and try to see how they work. Oftentimes they're trash because they don't have a lot of the necessary cards that you can go and use in order to make it a bit workable. I mean, when you're having to top deck like a specific card in order to try to make your like move much more potent because you ran out of certain resources in terms of spells, traps, or this or that, that makes that match much more worse. It's kind of the similar type of logic when you apply with Balatro, because if you're playing a card of like, if you're playing your deck right and like you have it specifically aimed as like say with two types, let's say if you want to use heart and spades or something like that, and then you just do all this stuff in order to improve that initial stuff. If you have like a mixture of all these different cards and all these different types of random stuff, it's gonna be a lot harder for you to get the necessary cards you need and stuff when you discard or when you have to go with like another move in the next time. Let's say you have to play like one card because you don't have the necessary resources in order to make it much more like substantial in terms of its multipliers and stuff. I mean, those kind of core concepts I get playing Balatro, like I had been playing Legacy of the Duelist on my PS5. But other than that, I mean, I haven't really been playing too much of other stuff. I've been more so trying to scout what type of great games that new releases are releasing, say like on Steam and also on the other systems as well. Just trying to get something that I can initially get into. Like I still need to try out Buckshot Roulette. I still need to try out like a couple other games and stuff that I have bought on Steam. But otherwise, so that's pretty much all I've been playing this past week.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us this week, guys. So if you like all that, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out. We're on everything, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those things. Just search for us to find us, Drunk Nerds, Drunk Ass Nerds. Leave 5-star reviews, like, subscribe, comment, tell your friends, anything like that. Really, really appreciate it if you can do that for us. We're two guys. Well, we have full-time jobs. We just do this because we love it. So if you can help us out, we would appreciate it. But I was your host. I was Tyler.
And I have been Colonel Gables. So until next time, everyone, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds
And hey, Gables.
podcast.
Sonic sucks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm too tired to think of a retort.
Because there is none, because you know I'm right. Bye, guys.
See ya.